Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you a special Christmas meditation with Father Robert Young.
Hello, dear friends, and welcome to this special program for Christmas Day. I'm Father Robert Young, Program Director, wishing you once again, on behalf of all our Radio Maria family, a most blessed, joyful, peace-filled Christmas and New Year. It's great, you know, to celebrate these feasts over and over again, but each one has its very own special meaning and purpose in our lives. And I pray that this Christmas will be clear to all of us and to our world what God is doing and wants to do among us to bring the kingdom of His love, of His peace, of His own divine will to come to reign on earth as in heaven. After all, that's why He came. So I'd like to begin with a prayer, and this is the prayer, the opening prayer of our Mass for Christmas during the day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who wonderfully created the dignity of human nature and still more wonderfully restored it, grant, we pray, that we may share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled Himself to share in our humanity, who lives and reigns with You in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And Our Lady, Queen of Peace and Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. That beautiful prayer is actually reflected in part of the rite of the offertory during our Holy Eucharist, when the priest pours just a little bit of water into the chalice of wine before the consecration. He says, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ who humbled Himself to share our humanity. And indeed, that's what Christmas is all about. Certainly Christ taking on Himself this humanity of ours, He who is without sin, redeems that humanity not from outside but from inside. And not only that, but He makes it possible for us then to share in the divinity, in His own divine life, not by nature, of course, but by grace and by participation, as we know so well. That's, dear friends, what we celebrate today. Certainly, the birth of this innocent, vulnerable child we know is Jesus, but also our birth into the kingdom, if you will. Our coming now, because Christ became one of us, we can now be restored to that kingdom, the kingdom of God's love, of His light and His peace, that Adam and Eve lost because of their choice, their free choice, to do their will instead of God's. So we hope and pray that this Christmas we'll all learn to do that a little bit more, that is, to live in God's will, not our own. And for that, we need all the grace and all the blessings of this holy season. As you know, I teach here on Radio Maria a beautiful gift of spirituality called the Kingdom of the Divine Will, coming to reign on earth as in heaven. It is the fruit of a beautiful life and work of a woman named Louisa Picaret. I'd like to share with you just a couple of passages from her extensive writings. As we know, she wrote great many works, one diary of 36 volumes. She wrote over 40 years under obedience to the Church. Her life is, of course, extraordinary, and we'll be able to read about it soon in English, as the Vatican-published biography of Louisa has now been released in Italian. Hopefully it will soon be released in English. May that be a Christmas gift for all of us this coming year. But in any case, let me begin with this passage from Louisa's work written in 1930 called The Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And this is day 22, when our Blessed Mother, who came and sat on Louisa's bedside and recited to her, if you will, these meditations, that she wanted Louisa to understand how she, as Mother of God, Mother of Jesus and our Mother, lived out her life every moment in the will of God. So on this 22nd day of the meditation, she's sharing with Louisa how Christmas was lived by Mary and, of course, Joseph and Jesus in the kingdom of God's will. So Mary says to Louisa, as she records in this book, "Now, child of my heart, while you were all attentive in longing for little baby Jesus, pay attention to me and listen. You must know that it was midnight when the little newborn king came out from my maternal womb. The night turned into day. The one who was the Lord of light put to flight the night of the human will, the night of sin, the night of all evils, and as a sign of what he was doing in the order of souls with his usual omnipotent fiat, the midnight turned into the most refulgent daylight. All created things ran to praise their Creator in that little humanity. The sun ran to give its first kisses of light to little baby Jesus and warm him with its heat. The ruling wind purified the air of the stable with its waves, and with its sweet moaning said to him, 'I love you.' The heavens were shaken from their foundations. The earth exulted and trembled down to the abyss. The sea roared with its gigantic waves. In sum, all created things recognized that their Creator was in their midst, and they all competed in praising him." So, dear friends, the light, and so often we hear of Jesus, of course, as the light. It is also the very image that is most often used in Louisa's writings for the will of God. It is light. And so it causes us to, it makes us remember that beautiful gospel which we hear on Christmas Mass in the day, the Gospel of John, and the very beginning of it, which says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be." So when Jesus is born, he's made visible, manifest on earth, it's only natural that all creation, which is created through, with, and in him, would praise him and recognize him as the Creator, as the Lord of this created world. What came to be, St. John goes on, through him was life. What came to be through him was life. And of course, that's a divine life. We already had human life, a life of our own nature, but he came to bring us another life, the life that is divine, a life that is of God himself. And this life was the light of the human race. This light was the light of all peoples of all times. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, this light, no darkness can ever overcome. Why? Because the light that has been born into the world is the light of God's divine will, which conquers everything else. Nothing can compete. Nothing can ever overcome the will of God. So the night turned into day. The one who was the Lord of light put to flight the night of the human will. At that moment, you know, of course, in nature, what's called the winter solstice, when the nights become shorter and the days at that point turn to become longer. So the light begins to grow longer at that moment in the year. So obviously that all is reflected in nature, you know, uniting and praising and thanking and adoring the Lord of nature, the Lord of creation, who has come into the world. He's come unto his own, And as St. John says, but his own received him not. But to those who did receive him, he gave them the power to become children of God. That's, of course, and what the divine will does is makes us children of God. It's the will of God, which is the very source of God's own love and goodness and everything that God is and contains. That divine will is what gives us God's own life, because it is the source of life even in God himself. So how blessed we are, dear friends, to know about this light. Certainly Christ brought it into the world. But you know, light is a very mysterious thing. We can't control light. You know, the only thing we can do is hinder it from shining by all kinds of ways, whether it's the light of the material world or the spiritual light of God. We can prevent either one from shining by our lack of correspondence with it, by our wanting to cast it out or to control it. But the light cannot be overcome. And in more ways than one, the light of Christ cannot be overcome. The light that was coming into the world came to cast that light upon all people, and it cannot be extinguished. It cannot be cast out or off the face of the earth. It's another very beautiful passage from Luisa's writings, and this one is from volume 16, the volume we just completed in our study during the program on Saturdays. The date of this recording, the date that Luisa writes this reflection of what Jesus has spoken to her, which is her holy obedience to record these things. She's only carrying it out in conformity with what she's been told by her priests and the bishop. So she records this on December 26, 1923. And of course, it's the day after Christmas. And she says, I'm thinking to myself, what beautiful Christmas holidays is Jesus making me spend? It shows just how much he loves me. And he, Jesus, moving in my interior, added, my daughter, for one who does my will, it is always Christmas. As the soul enters into my will, I am conceived in her act. As she goes on performing her act, I carry out my life. As she completes it, I rise again, and the soul remains conceived in me, carries out her life in mine, and rises again in my own acts. Let me read this again, because this is so very beautiful, and I think at the very heart of what Christmas is all about. Jesus says, my daughter, for one who lives and does my will, and they are the same when Jesus speaks to Luisa at this point in her life, it is always Christmas. As the soul enters my will, I am conceived in her act. As she goes on performing her act, I carry out my life as she completes it. I rise again, and the soul remains conceived in me, carries out her life in mine, and rises again in my own acts. Yes, dear friends, see then how Christmas holidays are for those who prepare themselves and place themselves in my grace only once a year. And so they feel something new about my birth within themselves. But for one who does my will, by that he means who lives in my will, it is always Christmas. I am born again in each one of her acts. We can ask, well, how is that possible that Christ could be born again in each and everything we do? Hopefully, perhaps we could understand it in terms of the Eucharist, in that great mystery of the body, blood, soul, and divinity once again becoming present in our altars, in our hearts, in our lives. But how can every single act we do, no matter what it is, as long as it's good, doing God's will, how can every act be a way to conceive and give birth to Jesus once again. So it is the real question, I think, for us to ask, is the difference between doing God's will and living in God's will. Because in doing it, we do God's will as something out there, something we know is good and right. We carry it out. But when we live in God's will, everything we do is allowing the will of God to do it in us. And if God's doing it in us, then it is a divine act as well as a human act. The divine and the human come together to be born again, conceived and born again in that act. Why? Because it's an act of your human freedom to let Jesus, the will of God in Jesus, come united with yours to do what God wants through it. Therefore, it is another life of Christ, another way in which he can become present in the world through that particular act. So for one who does my will, it is always Christmas. So he says, would you want me to be born in you only once a year? No, for one who lives in my will, my birth, my life, my death, and my resurrection must be a continuous act, never interrupted. Otherwise, what would be the difference, the immeasurable distance from all the other sanctities? That is, from all the other spiritualities and ways of life. So he says, there is a great difference here, dear friends, between doing God's will as a good and obedient servant of God and that of a son or daughter of God who lives in the very palace of the king, who is a member of the royal family, who's able to do everything the father does because the father gives that child his own capacity to do it because the child carries his name, because the child has the DNA of that father, which is his own divine will, the source of life, the source of love in the Holy Trinity. So what God is offering us, I think, every day of the year and every act that we do every day of the year, is this new understanding of how he wants to be present in the world. And he wants to be present in the way he was present, by this coming together, this beautiful marriage of God and the soul. You know, in the first reading for the Vigil Mass of Christmas that we would have heard last night if we attended Vigil Mass for Christmas Eve, the beautiful passage from Isaiah chapter 62. And the Lord says this, "No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you." The marriage of mankind and God, the divine and the human, come together, of course, in Jesus. That life is made visible at his birth. He is the image, the visible image of the invisible God. In fact, I believe the best word there to translate St. Paul would be, he is the visible icon. He is now the visible presence of the invisible God, because the God of love and life has wedded humanity, taken our humanity on his own. And this, dear friends, happens, we know theologically, through that big word called the hypostatic union, but more simply, it's God's will united now with a human will. That's who Jesus is. Two natures, two kinds of will, two wills united in this one person, Son of God, Son of Man. What he wants for us now is to be born into that way of life, to have a birth with him into the kingdom, through him, into the kingdom, as he says of John the Baptist. You know, John is the greatest of anybody born until now. But the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Of course, John is going to enter it too at some point. But before the kingdom is present on earth, because Jesus has not yet died and risen and ascended and the Spirit come, until that point, the kingdom's not available to us. Now it is. But it's available because, first of all, God chooses to unite his own divine will, the will that is the source of his love, with our humanity. Of course, it had to be a perfect humanity, which could only be conceived in a perfect woman, a woman without sin. We call her the Immaculate Conception. So, dear friends, in these beautiful days of Christmas, we celebrate a wedding. It is the wedding feast of heaven. It's the wedding feast of the Lamb. It is a commemoration of all weddings, in a sense. Why? Because it is the wedding. It is the marriage of God and mankind. What I believe we've come to know through Louisa Picaret in the most beautiful way that I've ever heard or seen possible is that this marriage that is the Word of God with us poor mortal beings, sinful beings here on earth, is now a marriage that he wants us to live out in its fullness as much as possible before he returns, by uniting our will, our little weak human will, to his omnipotent, all-powerful, perfect divine will. So this is what we call God's eternal fiat that wants now our mortal fiat, our fiat here on earth, our earthly temporal fiat, that will, by being united with his eternal, let it be, go on forever and bring the life of Christ present again in the world, and at the same time make it possible for all humanity to come to know, love, and possess that kingdom. That certainly is my ardent prayer for you, for your loved ones, for all of us here at Radio Maria, and for the world. I pray that the Word born for you and become flesh in the world will also become flesh in us through this marriage, this beautiful spousal relationship of God and his people we call the church. May God bless you, and may you have a most merry, happy, healthy, holy Christmas and New Year. So please remain with us here as part of our family of Radio Maria, and we pray that we might always be with you wherever you are. God bless you and keep you always in the heaven, the kingdom of his will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.